Hello and welcome to Evenings on BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey with me, Bibi Lynch. I'm here with you till 10 tonight. As ever, I hope to keep you company. I hope to keep you entertained. I also hope to not mention the lockdown. I'm joking. It's My Life, Dr. Auburn. What a perky song. I hope you were dancing at home. My back has spasmed at the thought of moving to that. How are you? Seriously, how are you? As my friend Alex said today, how are you dealing with day 2006 of lockdown? I've named my socks. I've started talking to my bras. I've been cleaning like salt pots and pepper pots and little chili pots, and I just like to clean now. I don't know. How are you coping? You do let us know what's going on with you. We've got a really great show today, which I hope is going to take your mind off stuff a little bit. We've decided to call this show Creatives at Home. I kind of love that. Do you love that? Yes, it's Creatives at Home. So just, you know, what we're doing, what we're up to, how we're getting through these times. So on the show later today, we have writer and author Olivia Potts. And Olivia is going to talk about this, and you must have seen this everywhere, the new baking bread craze. I don't know if Olivia's had the pleasure of looking at my posts about the food I create. And create is the loosest word we can use here. But anyway, she will be giving us, me, you, some baking tips and talking about the craze. And then we've got a section called BB's Personal Playlist. I'll explain what that is later. But the poor subject / victim of the first BB's Personal Playlist is my friend and colleague, producer Nick Carpenter. More of that later. And in a few minutes, it's jazz tour de force. Claire Martin talking creatives at home. There's some breaking news for you now. Prime Minister Boris Johnson has been moved to intensive care after his coronavirus symptoms have worsened, Downing Street has confirmed. We'll bring you more as we get on this. So that's some news. We will definitely bring you more on this as we get it. So we're talking about creatives at home, and one of our most creative friends, Claire, don't let me down, but creative friend, and she has a home, so she's perfect for this. Let me introduce properly. Jazz tour de force Claire Martin, OBE. Claire's collaborated with artists ranging from John Martin to Stephan Grappelli. She's won the British Jazz Awards 8 times in her 3-decade career. Were you 6 when you started?
Sounds so long, thank you.
In June 2011, she was awarded the OBE for her services to jazz, and her new album, her 20th album, Believe In It, is out now. Hey, how are you?
Hey, Bibi Lynch. Well, the back of that news, a bit reeling, I'm sure everybody else is. So, you know, my thoughts to Boris Johnson, but we're all here just sort of making the best of it, aren't we, really? And thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm not going to say unprecedented, but just, it's every day. There's something more extraordinary happening.
Very much so. I think, that's exactly it. And time is very weird, isn't it? Time's going really slow, but also really quickly. And somebody likened it to that bit between sort of Boxing Day and New Year's Eve. You know, you just don't know what day it is. And it's strange and it's surreal and it's a bit frightening and it's challenging. Yeah. And I think we're all in the same boat and there is a camaraderie within that. But it's odd. It is odd. And that news as well has spun us again, hasn't it, into another realm of what?
Yeah.
So what can we do? We've got to join forces and just try and get each other through this. So, very odd, very odd.
How has this affected you, the lockdown and the pandemic? Has it, like, career-wise, has it hit you?
Yeah, oh, God, absolutely. I mean, like all self-employed people out there, especially artists, we're all about the creative hustle and getting out there and, you know, our job is being in groups of people, singing and playing to groups of people. So everything's completely gone. 6 months, but I don't know when I'll be singing live again. You know, it's the same for all of us. So everything's changed. Obviously, that brings with it financial issues. And you're talking about creatives at home, but it's really everyone at home, really trying to work out how we're going to get through it. But for me, going out and singing with my band and being out there, being on the road is a large part of my life. So massive life change for me. so yeah, I'm just trying to fill the time doing creative things, trying to keep busy. I mean, I have to give a massive shout out to all my fellow lecturers at the ICT Drama School, which is the Institute of Contemporary Theatre in Brighton.
Yeah.
And we are all next week embarking on, well, it started this week really, but next week starting on teaching these fantastic students all their degrees and diplomas. We've got to deliver this third term. So we've all had to really, we've been thrown into sort of learning to work new software and juggle all these different platforms and develop these new tech skills. So I've been busy doing that, and I have to say there's been a camaraderie in that, a real teamwork effort in that, and that's really been good. I felt like part of something, really.
Yeah.
Also struggling through it and learning how to do Zoom. Of course, everybody does that now. And working out how to teach singing in this way. And the dance teachers must be thinking how they're going to deliver the dance. You know, I don't know how they're going to do that. I've got a good idea for the singing, and the acting teachers are amazing. And so wish us all well next week. But, you know, ICT's rocking it, I think, with the new sort of new skills. But
I haven't done Zoom
my
yet.
Computer. Oh my god!
Oh no, I bet, because I'm you know
about it.
I'm and please don't take offence at this. You don't strike me as a natural.
Mate, I am so bad. And bless you, my husband, we're sharing this little office, and I'm effing and blinding. And of course, my daughter's home. She left home at 16. There was a massive, oh, she's left home at 16. Therapy. And now she's back. All that money spent on therapy down the drain. So she's back like she's never left, and she's rehabbing. So that is actually really very nice. And of course, being with her, because she's going to America, possibly,
yeah,
if it all gets back to normal. So there's been some real pros and cons. You know, I'm going to try hairdressing tonight. I'll be hairdressing in the kitchen.
Claire, please, for the love of... Stop
so,
this.
I'm doing a bit of that in the kitchen.
Has the kind of slower pace of life, quickly tell me, has it kind of helped you creatively?
I think it's made me think, right, I can go back to basics and practice and listen to music, because when you're actually doing gigs, there's a lot of emphasis on also helping with the marketing, also helping the social media, pushing, sell tickets. There's lots of hats we have to wear. But now I'm just thinking, oh, I'm just going to sit and have a little practice, have a listen. So I think there is creativity in just being what you are in the first place, and not have to think about, you know, being a marketing guru to help with the ticket sales. So that's out of the way, and it's just nice to listen to music and do playlists. I know you're talking about playlists tonight.
Yeah, do you do them?
Piano. I have started doing that now. Yeah, I'm so behind. and I'm having a piano lesson with the lovely Neil Richardson. I'm going to give him a singing lesson. He's going to give me a piano lesson. So I'm doing stuff like that. I'm trying to make my own hand sanitizer. It just keeps turning into vodka and tonic. I don't know what's going on there.
I was going to say, Claire, got any tips? And there you go. There's one. This is so funny.
And can't wait to see you, darling, for our Powerwalk on the beach.
I miss you. It's... Oh, well, hopefully soon. How can people find out what else you're up to?
Well,
on
my website, which is, you know, walls full of gigs that were going to happen, it is basically nothing's going to happen, I think, until October, November. And, of course, my website is up there. And I'm now on Spotify. If you don't know my music, the record company I've been with for years have just got onto Spotify. So I'm out there and, you know, as I say, teaching at ICT, that's going to keep me busy. And if people want one-to-ones, on my website, there's a way to get in touch with me, and I can perhaps do a Zoom lesson. I should be good at Zoom by Monday, I hope. Other than that, I'm just in Sainsbury's on my own shopping. Can't go in twos now. You have to go in ones shopping in Sainsbury's now.
I know. So, have you done Zoom without mentioning the Fat Larry Band?
No, but since you sent me that, I can't do it without singing the Fat Larry. Please don't say that's the next track coming up.
Claire, thank you so much for joining us, and lots of love to everyone. And
thank you. Thank you, baby.
See
Take
you
care yourself,
really
darling.
Soon. Take care.
Yeah,
bye.
Thanks. I hope so. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
A few minutes ago, we brought you the news that Boris Johnson has been moved to intensive care. Ben Vyse, our political reporter, is here. Ben, what do we know?
Well, so far we've had a statement from Downing Street, and it reads that since Sunday evening, the Prime Minister has been under the care of doctors at St Thomas's Hospital. This much we knew. That's because the symptoms that he developed of coronavirus hadn't gone away in 7 days. In fact, they persisted. And the number 10 spokesperson says that over the course of this afternoon, the Prime Minister's condition has worsened. And on the advice of his medical team, he's been moved to the intensive care unit at the hospital. Now, the intensive care unit in a hospital is where patients receive... it's been described to me as the place in the hospital where the sickest patients with the best chance of you know, recovering from being so sick go. You know, at the low level, it means, you know, more monitoring, more tests, patients that need that monitoring and those tests. At the more severe end, you know, it's more invasive treatments, you know, the ventilators being intubated, so being put onto a ventilator to help with your breathing, those sorts of machines. So to be moved into that part of the hospital could be very serious news for the Prime Minister indeed, and we shouldn't downplay the severity of this development, I think.
Who's in charge of the country now then?
It is Dominic Raab, the Foreign Secretary. Downing Street's confirmed that the Prime Minister has asked him to deputise for him. So as well as being Foreign Secretary, his job title includes First Secretary of State, designated survivor for being all American and Netflix about this.
Yeah.
So Dominic Raab will be effectively the acting Prime Minister for now, as the Prime Minister's symptoms have worsened.
This is just going on and on.
It is. It's the...
It's like different shock every day, isn't it?
Indeed. It's odd, isn't it? It's as if every 5 minutes you get something that would be on the front page of a newspaper. You'd have to print a newspaper every hour to keep up with the amount of... The way in which this virus is touching every aspect of our lives, you know, from our head of government to whether we can go for a walk to the park.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Queen wasn't wrong, was she, when she spoke of the severity of the situation facing the country and also her hope that we'd all rise to the occasion, pull together and get through. But, you know, I join everyone, I think, in wishing the Prime Minister a speedy recovery, if possible. You know, we do wish him all the best. And like the Prime Minister, in fact, who has thanked all the NHS staff for their hard work and dedication, I think I'll do the same.
I think we all will, Ben. You take care.
And you.
So let's look at the weather now. It's a fine evening with sunshine. It will remain dry with long clear spells overnight. And it will be quite chilly, very light winds. Minimum temperature 1 to 4 degrees Celsius. And that's 34 to 39 degrees Fahrenheit. Tomorrow will be dry and fine with plenty of sunshine. And it will feel fairly mild or even warm locally. A chance of some cloud and patchy rain later in the day. Gentle southeasterly winds, maximum temperature 15 to 18 degrees Celsius. That's 59 to 64 degrees Fahrenheit.
Phoebe Lynch. BBC. Radio Sussex.
Mark Morrison and Return of the Mac. So Prime Minister Boris Johnson, as we've told you, has been moved to intensive care, and we will keep you totally up to date on that story. So, yeah, this show's about creatives at home and what's going on in this ever-evolving, ever-crazier times. And one of the things that seems to have happened, was definitely happened, is pictures all over social, which I'm finding offensive because I can't cook and I'm taking them as a personal insult and slight at my inadequacy, plural, I guess. Writer and... baker extraordinaire, Olivia Potts is here, and she's going to tell us about this baking bread craze. Olivia, what's going on?
Well, it's just blown up, hasn't it? Everyone is suddenly making bread. Bread more than anything else, I think, is the thing that's come out of lockdown, and particularly sourdough. People have really turned to since we've all been stuck in our homes. A combination, I think, of people having a little bit more time on their hands and not being able to go out and do other things, and there being a shortage of groceries, everyone suddenly turning their hand to bread making.
Is it annoying you? Because this is your thing.
No, it's not annoying me because I'm a recipe writer as well as a cook, and I do like bake-alongs on social media and that kind of thing. So I'm all for people baking as much as they can, and if this is the thing that gives them the impetus and the confidence to have a go at bread baking, I think that's brilliant. I think it's a really magical thing to do. I mean, I am cross when people's loaves look better than mine.
Bread envy.
Yeah, exactly. But otherwise, I'm broadly enthusiastic.
Do you know, when sourdough first came on the scene, it made me feel sad for the other breads because it is magical, isn't it?
It is totally magical. I mean, the idea that you can get the yeast from the air around you is bizarre. Brilliant.
What is this witchcraft?
I know. It's very simplest. You are just mixing flour and water together, and a few days later, you've created your own raising agent, and you've got a whole loaf of bread. I can totally see why that, particularly as a project, appeals to people who perhaps have had full-time office jobs and haven't been able to be at home with their starter and at home with their proving loaf.
Yeah.
Being close to the kitchen from a very boring practical point of view means that you can do things that you otherwise wouldn't have been able to do.
So some people mock me, Olivia, for many reasons, but one of them is my lack of kitchen skills to the extent that I warn Twitter when I'm going into the kitchen area because I know they're going to get some photos after. So for someone as dumb as me in the kitchen, is there a foolproof? And I mean, am I allowed to use the word proof in terms of bread?
No, but, every bread pun is permitted.
Thank you. Is there a foolproof recipe? Is there like a really like three ingredients? This is it.
Yeah, I mean, there are. The first thing I'd say is that I was you 4 or 5 years ago.
Really?
I couldn't. I mean, I really couldn't cook. I was a lawyer, and I lived on pasta from the supermarket and pasta sauces from the supermarket. So there is hope. I think, without wanting to be a naysayer or a harbing of doom, I think if you have not baked before, the place to start is not sourdough. And as I say, I understand why people might want to do that if they haven't had the time or the opportunity before. But bread is temperamental and sourdough is particularly temperamental. So the best thing you can possibly do is to build up your confidence through successes. So I would go for something, maybe not even anything yeasted. Go for like a soda bread where you're using baking soda and you can't fail. Like, go for a really simple soda bread recipe. And then if that works, try a white bread in a tin. And if that works, try a wholemeal bread in a tin. Like, don't start with kind of tartine San Francisco sourdough bakery level 8-day prep before you even touch dough. Like, it's really intimidating and there are so many areas that can go wrong. With a soda bread or a white tin loaf, you're in safe hands.
Really? And the Irish in me is loving the soda bread, the idea of the soda bread.
Yeah, and it toasts up so beautifully, and everyone will think you're magical when you make it. So I think soda bread or like a really simple loaf. I mean, the other thing with sourdough is that you have, when you feed it every day, you are having to use up your precious reserves of flour. We all know how hard it is to get flour at the moment.
And that's it. Get out of my life, sourdough.
Yeah, you're feeding it, you're throwing it away every day. Feeding it, throwing it away. You don't have to do that with normal bread. You don't have to do that.
Tell me about your book. This sounds so great. A half-baked idea.
Yes. Yeah, that's my memoir that came out last year about how I went from being a criminal barrister who couldn't cook at all to becoming a pastry chef.
How did that happen?
Well, it was sparked. It was sparked by my mum dying, and I was looking for something to distract me.
Yeah.
And it was quite an unconscious thing at the time. My mum didn't bake or cook particularly, so it wasn't like I was trying to channel that.
Yeah.
And I didn't think, oh, this will be a great thing to take my mind off the grief. I just found myself in the kitchen one day cooking. And then it kind of went okay, and I tried something else the next day, and that was a success. And I there were failures along the way, but there were enough little successes that I was sort of buoyed up by it and kept going. And I was becoming increasingly unhappy as a barrister and falling more and more in love with cooking and baking particularly. And eventually I ditched the first career and went to Le Cordon Bleu and did their 9-month professional patisserie diploma and came out the other end as a food writer and a private chef.
Oh, this is just so brilliant. I love this story. You know, there's, and I don't mean this to be flip in any way at all, but I think there is something really, I think when someone dies, it's like people want to create.
Yes, and yeah, it's a real catalyst, isn't it?
Isn't it interesting? And like babies are born, you know, people write their books. You adjusted in that way and went for baking. I think there is something really kind of fundamental about that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, without being flippant, what we're going through now is such a seismic change as a global community, let alone within our own households and our own minds and that kind of thing, that it's not surprising that people are reassessing what they're doing and are trying things that they haven't tried before. So, I mean, bread baking is obviously the area that I'm most interested in, but suddenly all over social media, you see people saying, I'm going to start quilting. Oh, I'm going to start drawing for the first time. I'm pursuing these kind of seemingly random creative pursuits that they've never encountered before or considered before, because we've been shaken up a bit and given this very strange enforced period of home time, I guess.
Do you think there's, so you know, so here's something weird. I can't cook, okay? I tried to cook the other day and I tried to make a basic pasta sauce, Olivia. 90 minutes later, everything I was wearing was in the washing machine. I'm in the shower. I've burnt my forehead. I've ruined a towel. And then I went to drain the pasta and dropped it and the sauce in the sink for washing up liquid. So it, you know, so.
No!
Honestly, it was absolutely traumatizing. But despite that level of incompetence or of skill, I really love cookery books and I love programs about food. It's like my porn. I love it. And it's just so really weird how I do that. But what annoys me is any contestants talk about, you know, and giving food is love and it's me on a plate. But do you feel that way? Do you feel that when you cook for someone, it is really a show of just how much you adore them?
Well, I mean, I think that's part of it. I mean, let's be honest. It's often a bit of showing off, right? I think anyone who says that if they hand you a beautiful cake, that it is 100% love and 0% showing off, then they are not being completely truthful. It certainly appeals to my showy off side. But I think that there is love in there. And I think it is a very easy way to show effort and care without kind of being overly sincere or earnest. I think it sort of does the talking for you. And I'm probably quite outwardly a cynical person, but I can be sincere by just giving someone something that has clearly had thought and attention paid to it over a period of time. But there are other sides to it. And I think the other nice thing about cooking is that you can kind of incrementally get better and work your way up through different complexities and difficulties. And that's just an inherently satisfying thing, and transforming ingredients when you get the hang of it is inherently satisfying as well. So for me, I wish I could say that I'm a good enough person that it is just love on a plate.
It's altruistic.
There are definitely other elements there.
Awful you. You're an awful
woman.
I know,
dreadful.
What's the best thing you've ever baked?
Oh, well, I do wedding cakes. That's one of the things that I do professionally. So that is always deeply satisfying when you finally stack them up at the venue and decorate them with flowers. That's pretty exciting. We made all sorts of nonsense things when I was at college. So we did, you know, big sculptures made entirely out of molten sugar and chocolate and croquembouche. But I think without wanting to be corny, it probably is the wedding cakes, because that really is all about celebration and love with the added showing off. So that is probably my perfect bake. Well, I get to go, look that I can make something pretty, but also you guys all love each other and that's delightful.
I've got an extra idea for you. I want 20% of this. So, you know, one of the unexpected, but there might be some more divorces at the end of this lockdown.
Yeah.
Get divorce cake baking.
Well, they were like 84 when Wuhan came out of its initial lockdown, weren't they?
84.
So 84 couples immediately filed for divorce.
Divorce cake baking. Come on. Come on, me and you. Come on. This is it. This is plan B.
It's a niche. It's It's a real niche. We need to get in there before other people do.
Where can people find out more about you and what you're up to?
I am doing daily bake-alongs on my Instagram.
Wow.
I am a half-baked idea on Instagram, and that I do those every day at 11 a.m. Or you can find out my story that sounds bleak, but I promise has lots of jokes in it, which is also called A Half-Baked Idea and was published last year.
It's really lovely to speak to you.
So nice to speak to you too.
Take care. Happy baking. I'll send you pictures of what I'm doing.
Do. Thank you.
Bye. Seriously, don't call her up. That's Mabel. Don't call her up. She's over you. It is almost 10 to 9. I'm Bibi Lynch, and I'm here with you until 10 p.m. BBC Radio Sussex. So, as you know, we've had some news from the last 30 minutes. If you haven't heard it already, Prime Minister Boris Johnson has been moved to intensive care after his coronavirus symptoms have worsened. He's been ill for over 10 days now and has been in St Thomas's Hospital since yesterday. Esha and Wharton MP Dominic Raab is now deputising for the Prime Minister, and we will have a full news update for you in the next 10 minutes. Groove Jet, If This Ain't Love, by Billa. Coming up, we have got Bibi's personal playlist with my friend and colleague, producer Nick Carpenter. poor man, but before that, it's Blur and Park Life. I'm Bibi Lynch, and I'm with you here until 10 p.m. I'm about to now introduce you quickly to one of my best friends and one of my favourite colleagues. It's producer Nick Carpenter. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Bibi. How are you?
I'm really good. This is so weird talking to you like this. I'm going to quickly tell you why you're here, because I don't think you know, and then I'm going to play your track. So we have done something called Bibi's Personal Playlist, and we get someone that I know very well, and I choose three songs that for whatever reason make me think of that person. That's right, mate. I'm going to play a track. It's not all going to be shut up your face, all right? But this is the first track, and then you be quiet while we're playing it, and then I'll come back to you. Okay, caller?
Okay.
I'm picturing you, producer Nick, swaying gently.
Yes. thank you for that. That was lovely, yes.
And that was David Bowie and Fame. And is it true you sang on that?
Sadly not. No, John Lennon is on that.
Yes. He's on the backing, isn't he?
Yeah, because that was a last-minute addition to his Young American album. They basically finished the album, and I think he just met Lennon, and they got drunk one night and decided to go into the studio and were jamming, and they came up with that, and they ditched something else off the album that was actually quite good, and they put that on. But it was Bowie's first American number one.
This is one of the things I love about you, apart from you being very tall, very handsome. You just know stuff.
Well, I know stuff about David Bowie. I don't know about anything else.
I should give you a proper introduction. So this is the voice of Nick. Do you want me to call you Producer Nick or Nick Carpenter?
Whatever you like,
please. Producer Nick. Producer Nick is my friend and colleague, and he's a radio producer and a TV producer and a radio presenter, all-round talent. I had to pick Bowie for you.
Thank you.
Would you have been upset if I hadn't?
Not necessarily, because I think you were just saying you were going to pick songs that reminded you of me, so that could have been anything really, couldn't it? But thank you for that.
No, you're very
the
welcome.
The whole album is fantastic.
Well, I think Young Americans is Nick's favourite album, Bowie.
Yeah, that and Station to Station, which was the one that followed a year later. That sort of mid-period I really like.
I'm going to ask you such a stupid question now, but when has that ever stopped me? What is it about Bowie for you? Because you just love him.
That is a very hard
stupid
question. This is a stupid question. It's very hard to answer. I don't know. I mean, he's just one of those people, isn't he? Just otherworldly, hugely influential. Just the sheer diversity of style and the quantity of work. Just staggering, really.
And that he seemed to just be ahead of the game and then change the game.
Yes, he used to get bored very easily. I think he had OCD or ADD rather.
And RSVP.
Something like that. And I think, yeah, he just as soon as he sort of got to the peak of one thing, he decided to do something else, which I think is quite brilliant, really.
So the next track, it's...
I'm really nervous about this.
Are you? No, I think I'd be very kind.
You'd be going to embarrass me.
No, not at all. Okay, I'm going to play this. I hope you love it. Get dancing, Nick. I've never been closer. A quick reminder of our breaking news this evening. Prime Minister Boris Johnson has been moved to intensive care after his coronavirus symptoms have worsened. Our political reporter Ben Weiss will be joining us for more information in the next few minutes. BBC Radio Sussex. But first, let's round off this mixtape. Mixtape, Nick, for producer Nick. Hey, you're a fan of the mixtape?
I love a mixtape.
Yeah. You're going to make me one?
People use for streaming services now, don't they?
The idea of this was, we might have some more time in our hands now and people find solace in music, of course, and maybe kind of go back to the good old days where you do a mixtape and let's do a playlist. And that's why we did this. So I did Temptation, Heaven 17, that was, for you, because we've had the pleasure of Glenn Gregory appearing on our show and we went to that amazing gig in Shepherd's Bush, do you remember?
Yes, yeah, when they did, it was the 35th anniversary of the album, I think. And that's nearly 30 years old, that track, but it still sounds exciting.
It just reminds
me of school, really. I was 15 when that came out. Oh. And it was, I always loved Heaven 17. Very underrated, I think.
That song used to be my getting ready song, so I'd have a bottle of Baby Sham and a bit of Heaven 17 and Bob Schwartzit. Hey, Nick, so I'm going to give, yes, this is your final song, and I'm going to tell you what it is straight away, and then we'll discuss quickly why we love it. Stevie Wonder, As. And I went for Stevie because I finally saw Stevie Wonder live last year, and you were there, Hyde Park, and quickly tell this story, and then get off my show, of when you were on stage with him.
Well, that's exaggerated slightly. I, as well as a lot of radio stuff, I work on live shows and events, and I was lucky to be part of the crew for the Queen's Diamond Jubilee concert. I don't know if you remember that a few years ago. They did that big thing in front of Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
Lots of artists from all over the world. And Stevie Wonder was on the bill. And just during the sound check, we had to lead him out to the piano and sit him down and get him used to the space, and he was just tinkling away, and I was just leaning on the piano and just seeing if he was all right, and there was a couple of lighting guys and one of the sound guys and one of the floor managers, and we were just sort of all leaning around the piano with a sort of polystyrene cup of coffee, and Stevie was basically doing requests, he was just sound checking. It was early in the morning. And just tinkling away, and we were literally just hanging off his every note, just leaning on the piano while he was just rattling through his greatest hits.
Nick, that is so extraordinary. Yeah. Did you cry?
Maybe.
I love you.
A slight little bit of dust in my eye.
So so next time you do the playlist for me, what song are you going to choose?
Well, basically, you've just chosen three of your favourite songs.
I know.
It reminds you of me.
That was always going to happen.
What would I choose?
You can think about it.
Yes. It would actually be Donny Hathaway, wouldn't it?
Yes, there you go. You've done it. Okay, thank you, Nick Carpenter, for joining us tonight.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for asking.
And here's Stevie Wonder and As. I'm Bebe Lynch. This is BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey. The breaking news this evening is Boris Johnson, who has coronavirus, has now been moved to intensive care. Ben Weiss, our political reporter, is here. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Bebe.
What do we know now?
Well, since we last spoke, we don't know a huge amount more about the Prime Minister's condition. What we do know is that he's clearly had coronavirus for over 10 days now. He's been ill. His symptoms persisted, so he was admitted to hospital last night for further tests and monitoring, as you'd expect. And through the course of today, his conditions deteriorated such that sort of in the early evening, he was moved to intensive care at St Thomas's Hospital. Now, the BBC's health reporter James Gallagher is reporting that apparently the Prime Minister isn't yet on a ventilator, which could be good news potentially, but intensive care is that part of the hospital where their patients are under much greater monitoring than elsewhere, where that sort of quite invasive at times treatment, sort of life-supporting, life-saving treatment is administered. You know, a ventilator at one end, at the other end of the spectrum, it's, you know, increased monitoring of their condition. So that's where the Prime Minister is at the moment. And what we've had since we last spoke, Bibi, is a range, I mean, the whole world really coming out to send messages of support to the Prime Minister. So the First Minister of Scotland, Nicola Sturgeon, Rishi Sunak, Sajid Javid, Lindsay Hoyle, the Speaker of the House of Commons, but the French President, Emmanuel Macron, the Irish Taoiseach, Simon Coveney, all sending their messages of support. And, you know, in 101 languages, BB, get well soon is the message being sent.
And from us too, of course. And Isha and Wharton MP Dominic Raab, so he's now in charge.
He is, yes. He is. This has been clear for a few days now that were the Prime Minister's condition to deteriorate, Dominic Raab would effectively be the acting Prime Minister, and that's what he's doing now. He's actually been on his feet in the last 15 minutes or so, giving a statement praising the care of the NHS, saying the Prime Minister's been receiving excellent care. Says the Prime Minister's in very safe hands. The government business will continue. And asked whether the government is under control, Dominic Raab said that there was a strong team spirit behind the Prime Minister. And I thought it was interesting, actually, earlier today, at that daily press conference that you get in Downing Street these days, where Dominic Raab was delivering it, and clearly the question on the journalists and every journalist's lips was to do with the fact that the main man, Boris Johnson, wasn't there, but apparently running the show from his hospital bed, despite, said Dominic Raab, not having spoken to him since Saturday. You know, and clearly every time Dominic Raab was asked that question, he went to great lengths to stress that, you know, Boris Johnson was making the decisions. Boris Johnson was at the heart of everything. You know, even when it came to straying beyond... So Dominic Raab is the Foreign Secretary. And even in his statement where he was straying beyond Foreign Secretary, Foreign Office matters, into things like praising the NHS, commenting on the Queen's moving statement last night. You know, as soon as he moved out of the Foreign Office brief, it suddenly became, you know, the Prime Minister and I... would like to thank the NHS. You know, the Prime Minister and I thought such and such about the Queen's speech. You know, very, very clear to make sure that Boris was in charge. But now that can't happen, clearly. You can't run a country from intensive care. And it's almost certainly too early to be posing these questions. But longer term, if it takes a while to recover, because intensive care is a serious place to be, if it takes a while for the Prime Minister to recover from where he is, you know, more serious thought will have to go into who is the interim Prime Minister, because it might not be for a short period of time, Bibi.
Yesterday, when it was already said that the cabinet meeting for tomorrow had been cancelled, I'm guessing now, though, maybe they'd have to rethink that.
Well, I mean, the cabinet is able to meet now by video link. It can, and it's not just the cabinet that meets as a whole unit. A lot of government business is done in subcommittees. So it'll be three or four ministers and their advisers getting together. Again, can be done via Zoom. I wouldn't imagine, I'm not quite sure what the cabinet's plans are, but they'll certainly be in touch with each other, you'd think, and rapidly drawing some up.
Thank you, Ben Vice, our political reporter, and of course we wish the Prime Minister all the best. Thank you, Ben. Janet Jackson and Together Again, one of my favourite songs ever. Let's take a look at the weather. This evening, fine evening with sunshine. Well, not now, it's late. It will remain dry with long clear spells overnight, and it will be quite chilly tomorrow. Dry and fine tomorrow, plenty of sunshine, and it will feel fairly mild or even warm locally. A chance of some cloud and patchy rain later in the day. Gentle southeasterly winds, maximum temperature 15 to 18 degrees Celsius. That's 59 to 64 degrees Fahrenheit.
Bibi Lynch. BBC Radio Sussex.
Brilliant. Edwin Collins and A Girl Like You.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC.
So each week here on Upload, we've been hearing chapters from a book written by Surrey resident Terry Duckmanton. What a great name, Terry Duckmanton. Terry Duckmanton. Terry, I'm going to keep saying your name until I get it right. Duckmanton, it's brilliant. The book is called Gabriel's Dragon, and he wrote it for his granddaughter, Gabrielle. So now we're on for chapter 6, I believe.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload and upload your content now.
How super cute was that? Can you imagine your granddad writing you a story? Mine taught me to swear. That was it. I love him. Oh, I loved that. That was so gorgeous, Terry. So that's chapter 6 of Gabriel's Dragon. Let's leave that there because we're going to hear a little bit more later in the show. And don't forget, if you've written a story or a book or a play or you've got something that's a work in progress, send it to us. Send it to us at bbc.co.uk/upload. Record it, upload it, and it could be on air. The Middle by someone, I've no idea who. The breaking news this evening, here's a reminder, Prime Minister Boris Johnson has been moved to intensive care in hospital after his coronavirus symptoms worsened, Downing Street has said. Mr Johnson has asked Isha and Wharton MP Dominic Raab to deputise where necessary. The spokesman has said he was moved on the advice of his medical team and is receiving excellent care. We will have a full news bulletin for you in the next 15 minutes.
BBC Radio Sussex.
So now it's time for our next upload this evening, and this one is from Scott Ramsey. Scott lives in the village of East Preston, and he noticed something really uplifting and really sweet while he was out for a run as part of his daily exercise session. He sent us a video over the weekend via bbc.co.uk/upload, and here's a bit of the video now.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload and upload your content now.
Now, I had a look at the video, the full video, and oh, the messages, it made me cry. That's how I'm dealing with lockdown. I'm just crying. Not all the time. I'm eating button soup and crying. And it was things like, you know, you've got this, and, you know, here's a socially distanced hug and it's okay to not be okay. And, you know, really cute, really, really cute. Now, that track's called City of Angels, and I think it's pronounced 24 Karat Golden, but it's like lots of acts. They're taking out the vowels. There's no vowels, so I don't know how to pronounce it. Bring back the vowels, please.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC.
Honestly, I'm serious about the vowels. So our final upload section tonight is more from Terry's gorgeous story, Gabriel's Dragon, that he wrote for his granddaughter. That's just so cute. So earlier we heard the first part of chapter 6, and now the story continues.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload and upload your content now.
Who? Who is it? Who was it? I now want a story written for me. And I also want marshmallows. That concludes chapter 6 of Terry Duckmanton's Gabriel Dragon. So next week we've got the next chapter. What such a great idea. Thank you for joining us this evening. I hope that you join us again next week from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey. Take lots of care. Really keep safe, everyone.